KINY Juneau. Now from the Alaska Airlines Studio, local first news for Juneau and all of Southeast Alaska.
From the capital city, I'm Grace Dumas, and here are the stories we're following this hour. Gastineau Channel Little League's opening day was Saturday at the Adair Kennedy Baseball Field. Arctic Terns returned to Mendenhall Glacier. But first, for the first time in more than two decades, the USDA Forest Service is revising the official forest plan that guides land management on the Tongass National Forest, and the public is going to have an opportunity to weigh in on those revisions. The agency is starting a multi-year process to adapt to significant changes in Southeast Alaska. Deputy Forest Supervisor of the Tongass National Forest, Barbara Miranda, says the plan needs to be adapted for the Tongass of today.
Being in Juneau, what's changed significantly in Juneau is that we have, the tourism industry is focused on the recreation values of the Tongass, and many of our Southeast Alaskan towns are grappling with that desire to have a place to recreate for the people that live here, and also balancing that with the tourism industry that drives local economies. One other significant change is really considering the people that have contemplated the future of the Tongass since time immemorial, and that's the Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian people. So considering tribal interests, tribal values is a really fundamentally important aspect of this plan.
Right now, the forest planning is in an assessment stage. Alaska Native tribes were engaged early in the process last fall.
We can't do this alone. We need engagement from the tribes, and they're stepping forward to help us. We've also are working with Spruce Root and the Juneau Economic Development Council to help us with our engagement efforts, so we're not relying just on our standard governmental ways to do outreach. We're really trying to engage differently so that tribes, partners, communities, citizens can really feel like they have an avenue to have their voices heard in this next plan.
Engagement included a series of educational webinars and public workshops in communities across Southeast Alaska.
Traveling to all the different communities in Southeast, people say you've been to one community in Southeast Alaska. Well, you've been to one community in Southeast Alaska. They're all so unique and all have different values and priorities. And I'm really hoping, and from the activities we had at these community workshops, we'll be able to see how the different communities prioritize the different topics that we're going to be addressing in the forest plan. And we'll be able to reveal those in a synthesized document.
The Forest Service will use information gathered to produce a draft assessment for public review and comment by 2025. Gastineau Channel's Little League opening day was Saturday at the Adair Kennedy Baseball Field. There's a total of 435 players across 38 teams this season. Jeff Kirsch says it's great to see the sport bringing Juneau's community together.
You get to know the kids after a while, and not just the coaches and managers and stuff, but even, you know, the parents and, you know, everybody's rooting for everyone. That's the other thing, is that even though the divisions are split up into teams and they play against each other, you still get everyone rooting for both teams.
Tristan Oliva talks about being a senior on the Juneau Douglas High School softball team.
It's a big role to play. You have to have a lot of strength and, like, leadership role. My freshman year, I was a shy, didn't want to talk to anybody, and now I'm a role model on the field. I just love the game of softball and the community it has brought.
Serena Hogg and Caitlin Sulzer from Team Texas Smoke say they are excited to cheer on their teammates.
In our dugouts, while our teammates are batting, we'll have a bunch of,
like,
softball
cheers based off on your number.
Number, so like 14, 1, 4, hit it and score, or hit it 1, rip it 4, hit it, rip it 1, 4, hit it, rip it. Yeah, there's so many cheers that we do for each other.
And they're really fun because you just, like, scream at the top of your lungs.
Yeah.
Aisha Tapia threw the first pitch for softball. She's on the Comets team and has been playing Little League for the last 5 years.
What I've come to enjoy about it is playing with my friends and getting to learn new things, and I learn new things every practice and every year, and it's fun to have new people on my team.
The City and Borough of Juneau and Parks and Recreation is once again partnering with Juneau Education Association and Juneau Public Libraries to bring StoryPath to the Overstreet Park Seawalk. Three books by Alaskan writers or illustrators will be featured over 3 weeks in May. Each StoryPath will feature framed pages of the story that you can read as you walk the seawalk. StoryPath promotes reading, physical activity, and getting outside. StoryPath number 1 begins May 1st. For more information, you can visit the StoryPath Events Facebook page. Coming up, the Alaska Robotics had its 6th annual mini comic convention at the Alaska State Museum on Saturday. That story next when Local First News continues. Alaska Robotics had its 6th annual mini comic convention at the Alaska State Museum on Saturday, with 38 different vendors participating. Pat Race, owner of Alaska Robotics, organizes the mini con.
I feel very lucky to have such amazing people come to town. Like, we have just incredible artists and illustrators and animators and graphic designers here, that they would come from all across the United States, from as far away as Japan to Juneau to be a part of this event. It says something about our community.
Casey Silvers and Demi Maharis, authors and illustrators of the Chick Looney's comics and founders of 80% Studios, spoke to Local First News reporter Jazz Garrett about the uniqueness of the mini-con.
Last year was our first year, actually both of us, in Juneau, so it was really awesome to come here and see this place. It's beautiful. Meet, Pat and Aaron and the people that, you know, put this convention on. So it's a tight-knit community. It's a tight-knit group of people that put this on. And we're very fortunate to be invited back. You know, it was, you know, this is different than an ordinary comic book convention. This is something more community-based. This is something more special, I think. And what we, you know, try to do and what we try to offer, I think this is a much better venue for that.
Chick Looney's is an Alaskan all-ages tribal adventure comic based on Atna Athabascan culture. Maharis explains the goal of the graphic novel is to bring awareness to the rich Atna Athabascan culture and bring it to the forefront of popular media.
We set out to make Chick Looney's as, you know, a fun kind of new way of exploring Indigenous representation, and specifically Atna Athabascan, you know, representation, which is where I'm from. My family's from Chick Looney, and my mom's side of the family. And we didn't want to retell old stories. We wanted to be inspired by those old legends, those old myths about Raven, you know, trickster archetype, and create new stories that kind of inform the reader of the world of Chick Looney's, because it's a fictional world. I mean, while it's kind of based in the real world, you'll see places you recognize on the map, like Chick Looney, Palmer takes center stage in the second book, Watering Ways. It is a fictionalized world, and there is no sun. In order to make sense of the world of Chick Looney's, we create new Yani Da'a legends. And Yani Da'a myths are the stories that are not the Baskin traditional stories. They're called Yani Da'a, which means ancient teachings. So making new myths inspired by those old legends.
To learn more about the Chick Looney's Chronicles or about 80% Studios, you can head to 80%studios.com. Arctic terns are back. Records show that Arctic terns were observed using Mendenhall Glacier as summer breeding grounds in the 1920s, perhaps even earlier. Of course, the glacier was several miles longer and in a different location 100 years ago, but Arctic terns have continued to return to the area since, shifting their nesting grounds multiple times. The current nesting grounds are around Photo Point. The Forest Service and Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center ask that visitors respect all posted signs and barriers along nesting areas within Mendenhall Glacier Recreation Area. Humans and domestic animal impacts are highly discouraged through September 30th. Maintaining a distance of at least 100 yards from nesting areas is recommended. It is very difficult to see nests or eggs, and these birds will dive bomb you to protect their young. To ensure protection of this sensitive species, refrain from walking, hiking, biking, and beach landings within or along posted areas. Drones are also prohibited anywhere that could cause disturbance to wildlife. As many colleges work to wrap up the semesters this week, pro-Palestine demonstrations continue to grow and demand action from their schools. ABC's Trevor Ault is at USC in Los Angeles with more.
Saturday demonstrations from Northeastern to Indiana, Washington University in St. Louis, and Arizona State. Many demanding their schools divest from companies believed to be profiting from the war and calling for a ceasefire. Several accusing police and their universities of infringing on their right to protest.
Juneau had its own pro-Palestine rally back in March, held by Juneau for Palestine, a local activist group. A ceasefire resolution has been introduced to the Juneau Assembly and will be voted on today at 7 p.m. Now you're up to date with Local First News. I'm Grace Dumas.
For continuous Local First News updates, visit KINYradio.com.